We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, Matthew chapter 20, and our text for this evening is verse 30. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 30. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." Do you know any blind people? Blindness is a terrible infliction. Last week I was walking along Dumbarton Road and saw a man in front of me with his white stick and tapping as he was going along, and his friend holding his arm, guiding him along. And I thought, what a disability blindness is. Remember some years ago, watching a blind man walking along the road, and there was a temporary road sign on the pavement. He'd obviously memorized where he was going, but he didn't know that that sign was there. So he fell over it. He got up cursing. He'd have been hurt. How difficult when you're blind, you can't see, and if there's anything unexpected in the way, you hit it and you fall over it. A blind person can't see the beauty of a garden. They can't read the Word of God. They can't see the dangers that are in the way. Blindness. But natural blindness is a picture for us of spiritual blindness. All around us, there are many, many people who are spiritually blind. They can see the world around them, but they can't see the spiritual world. They can't see God, the holy God, the God who hates sin. They can't see themselves with their filthy, sinful hearts. They can't see the danger that is ahead, the hell that is before them. They can't see Jesus Christ, the beautiful Savior, willing to receive them and save them. I wonder, are you still blind, spiritually blind? Or do you see your need? And do you see Jesus as the answer to that need? Well, here in this passage in front of us tonight, we have two needy souls. We're told that Jesus departed from Jericho. He was on his way from Galilee through Jericho to Jerusalem for the last time. Very shortly after this, he will be crucified and die. And by the wayside there, as the crowd walk along with Jesus, pilgrims going up to the Feast of Passover at Jerusalem, there's two men sitting there. We're not told that they were beggars, but very likely they are begging. They cannot work because they're blind. There's no social security. There's no disability benefit or universal credit or whatever. There's nothing like that. They have to beg in order to survive. What a miserable life, trying to survive through the charity of others. Blindness is such a terrible disability. But in a sense, these two men there, they're a picture of you and me. Here we are in this world, but we're on a journey too. We're on a journey to another world. Very soon, we'll be called away from here? Are we spiritually blind? Are we seeing our danger? Can we see that there is a God to whom we are answerable? Do we see ourselves as needy sinners who need to be saved? Do we see the hell to which we are going, except we repent? Do we see the beauty and suitability of Jesus Christ, the altogether lovely one, the mighty Saviour who's able to save? In a sense, by nature, each one of us, if we're not converted, we're like a blind man walking along the edge of cliffs. Any moment we can take a step over the edge into the bottomless pit where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Into that lake of fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Two needy souls sitting by the wayside. Maybe you're a needy soul sitting in church here tonight. Have your eyes been opened? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the only Saviour? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is none other name given under heaven among men through whom we must be saved. None other name, no other person but Jesus. If we have Jesus, we're saved. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have Christ? Two needy souls. Next we notice Jesus passing by. The mighty Saviour is near. He's the one who has given sight to many people. We have various accounts in the Gospels about blind people who receive their sight. We're told about lepers who were cleansed of their leprosy. We're told of deaf people who were unable to hear, of lame people who were able to walk, even dead people raised from the dead. He's a mighty Saviour. There's no limit to his power. He's able to save. He's able to save everyone. And he's a willing Saviour because he sent out his disciples and he said, go and preach the gospel to every creature, every man and woman in the world. Declare to them and tell them the good news of salvation. I'm a Saviour, able and willing to save. Look unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth. Look to me, trust in me, believe in me, and you'll be saved. Jesus of Nazareth passing by. Previous to my being minister here in Knightswood, I was minister in Portree in Skye. And there we had an old elder. And this elder was converted many years ago through a sermon preached on the text, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And that's true tonight. Jesus is passing by. Jesus, in a sense, is in this church tonight. Will you call to him? Will you look to him? Will you ask him to give you sight, to give you a new heart? A new life. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He won't always be passing by. Here he was on the way from Jericho to Jerusalem. He would never go through Jericho again. This was the last time. Perhaps today is the last time you'll hear the gospel. I had a friend, 60 years of age, full of life and vigor. This last week, he was at work on Thursday afternoon. Came home from work, went upstairs, fell over and died. All so quickly. We don't know the day nor the hour when we'll be called out of this world. will you suddenly die and find yourself in hell? Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Here we have a very important message, because Jesus is here tonight. Thirdly, we have here the blind men crying out. We're told that they cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." They're asking for mercy. Mercy is something we all need. We're all sinners, and if God deals with us according to our sins, every one of us deserves to be sent to hell, because we break God's commandments in so many ways. "Have mercy upon us." They plead for help. They recognize who it is that Jesus is. Jesus of Nazareth, yes, but not that. What they say is, "O Lord, thou Son of David." He's the Son of David. In Old Testament times, it was told that David would have a descendant who would be the king, the Messiah, the great king, the great Savior. And they realize, they've heard about him, and they recognize that Jesus is that Savior. And so they cry out to him, "O Lord, Lord of all, mighty Lord, glorious Lord, thou Son of David, the great Messiah, have mercy on us." Notice that they don't just speak quietly. They cry. They're earnest. They're sincere. They mean it. They're pleading for mercy. I wonder, are you pleading for mercy tonight? And are you praying from the depths of your heart? "O Lord, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Has he had mercy on you? Has he saved you? Has he opened your eyes? Has he opened your heart? Has he come to live in your soul? Has he given you the new birth? Has he made you into a spiritual man or woman? The blind men cry out, crying out because they're convicted of their blindness, and they're pleading that their eyes would be opened. They cry out. Next, we notice that the crowd rebukes them. The multitude rebuked them, verse 31, because they should hold their peace. The people are saying, "Stop making a fuss. Stop disturbing the peace." Jesus is speaking. We can't hear what Jesus is saying. "You're making such a noise. We can't hear Jesus. Be quiet. Be quiet. Be quiet." But they wouldn't be quiet. They were causing trouble. They were disturbing the peace. And the crowd are saying to them, "Stop, stop shouting. Stop making a noise. Maybe people have discouraged you. And maybe they've offended you at times. Maybe they've treated you badly. But are you going to allow yourself to be discouraged away from Christ, offended? Maybe people even mock you. Well, so what? Think of how they mocked Christ. Are you going to stop, or are you going to keep on like these two blind men?" They kept on shouting. They cried out the more, "Have mercy on me." Next, we notice that Jesus stops. Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" We have a great Savior, a Savior who's ever ready to save, who loves to save. Though many people would discourage us, Jesus doesn't discourage us. Even Christians can sometimes push us and shove us away from God, as it were, and distract us and offend us. And we can see so many hypocrites in the church, and that can be very off-putting at times. But if we cry out to Jesus, he will stop. He will listen. Ask, he says, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's never a waste of time to pray. Pray, and he will hear. He will answer. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what your past is. Doesn't matter what sins or crimes you may have committed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, even the chief of sinners. Jesus stops. And he asks them, what will ye that I should do unto you? Next we notice that they plead for their eyes to be opened. What a great disability they're suffering from, this blindness. Open my eyes. Open my eyes to see Jesus. Open my eyes to see the way that I should be on. And if we pray to him, he will hear. He will answer. He says, look to me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God. Look to me. We all need a miracle to be performed in our lives. If left to ourselves, we go on drifting on from day to day, busy with our work, busy with our pleasures, busy with our families, busy with our homes, busy with our friends. How quickly, day after day, week after week, year after year goes by, till one day we've left this world behind us. We've gone to the great eternity. We've gone to stand before the judgment seat. And what will it be then? What will the answer be? What will the judgment be? They cry out to him, Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open my heart. Lord, come into my life. It's wonderful when our eyes are opened, when we're born again, when we're justified and our sins are forgiven, when we're adopted into the family of God, when we are new men and new women in Christ Jesus, being sanctified and on the road to heaven. We need salvation, and that salvation is to be found in Christ alone. Next, we notice how Jesus touched their eyes. They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. He had compassion. He's very compassionate. Jesus wept over Jerusalem, the Jerusalem that was going to crucify him, the Jerusalem that treated him so badly. Why did he weep? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that stonest the prophets and killest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. But you would not. You refused me. You rejected me. You turned away from me. And now your house is left unto you desolate. Soon the Romans are going to come, and they're going to destroy your city, and they're going to burn your temple that you're so proud of, and they're going to kill you, and those of you who survive are going to be sold as slaves across the Roman Empire. Terrible devastation is going to come. If only you'd listen to me. And not just that, but if only you listened to me, you would be saved, and you would, when you die, you would go to heaven. to be with me forever and to be blessed forever. But now, if you die in your sins, you will go to a lost eternity, to the misery of hell. Jesus had compassion. He wept at the grave of Lazarus. He's rich in mercy unto all who call upon him. And he stretched out his hand and he touched their eyes. And he healed them. Their eyes were opened. What a mighty miracle. Who ever heard of somebody being born blind, having their sight restored? But Jesus performed miracles. He was mighty because he was the Son of God, because he had the Spirit of God upon him. In great abundance, he could perform these miracles. And these men, they now had their sight. They could see. And their whole lives were changed. When Jesus comes into your heart, into your life, it's a transformation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Born again, a new creation in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus touched their eyes. And then finally, we notice that they followed him. How wonderful that is. That's a real Christian. What is a Christian? Some people say a Christian is somebody who's baptized, somebody who's attending church, somebody who's good living and respectable. But what is a Christian? What is a real Christian? Someone who follows Christ. A disciple of Christ. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. They were Christ followers. They were people who were following him in the way, like these two blind beggars. Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." We are to take him as our Savior, trusting in him, but not just as our Savior. We're to take Jesus as our Master, our leader, our guide. And then we follow him. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. You a follower of Jesus? Is Jesus the one who's leading you? Is he your guide? Have your eyes been opened? Do you see your need? Friend, where do you stand tonight? Are you blind, perishing? Or have your eyes been opened? Do you see Christ? Do you follow him? Are you going along that road to heaven? Or are you running madly along the road to hell? One day, you and I will meet again at God's right hand, judged by God. Will we be in Christ that day? Will we hear him say, "Come ye blessed"? Or will we hear him say, "Depart from me, ye cursed"? It's so important to have Christ as your Savior. Thou, Son of David, have mercy on me. Open my eyes. Come into my heart. Make me a new person. Show me the way that I should go and help me to live my life for you and so to go forever to be with you in heaven. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we thank thee for this gospel that thou hast given to us. We thank thee for the Saviour that we had. that we have, and that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Alas, Lord, we see many around us perishing. They do not care, they're not interested, and they don't want the Saviour. But we pray that none of us would be like that, but that we would realise that we need to be saved, and that we would flee to Christ while we have the opportunity and put our trust in him. Bless, O Lord, each one of us here. Bless, we pray thee, each one, with the blessing of everlasting life. He who has the Son has life, and he who has not the Son of God hath not life. Pardon all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.